It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of May. Holy smokes, is that what it means to come back to play? The last dance is done. The pain is still real some 22 years later. And what if Andre Kirilenko had become the player we thought he would be? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you're great. Thanks so much for tuning in. A Monday in May. Hope everyone's making progress. I know our state's opened up. If you're in Utah, a lot of you listen out of state, so you're all having different experiences. I hope everyone's moving forward a little bit in our crazy times right now. I headed out actually to Zion and Bryce over the weekend, so I'm feeling very refreshed and being able to spend some family time in the national parks. My daughter played in a golf tournament over at the in St. George, and then we just did that on the way back and had a nice time. All right, there's a bunch of news for you. The Last Dance is obviously the big one, but every day I try to open kind of with the latest news about openings and getting back to play, and we're getting close, right? We're in the middle of May. Baseball says they're opening spring training June 10th. That's 3 weeks. Basketball, I've said this whole time, if it starts, is starting late July with a three-week ramp-up, so we're 6 weeks away from that. That's actually still got a little length to it. So I think these stories are really important. That's why I want to start there. I do want to remind you, today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Rebuilding the taste and expectation of energy bars. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On. And I also want to remind you, Daily DeVars. I got a few of them. We'll get back to them. All right. So NHL is trying to move forward with a 24-team playoff or 24-team restart in which they'll play some regular season games or some sort of kind of warm-up games. That's to fulfill their regional sports network responsibilities. We've talked about that. That goes back to the Sinclair CEO. I apologize. I know that most of you don't listen every single day, and I have a tendency sometimes to do the show. I'd love it if you listened a few more days a week and made it 5 days a week, and I appreciate those of you that do. Let me back up. So about last week, we had a news story, or 2 weeks ago, that the CEO of Sinclair Television said they expected both the NBA and the NHL to fulfill their regional sports network obligations, and that meant that they had to play some regular season games. This now backs that up. NHL sounds like they're going to go with 24 teams, four different locations, play some sort of games early to get everyone ready, and then break into a playoff from there. Major League Baseball, and we're going to dig into this all week long because this is incredible, and it's going to take me more time to understand it. On Friday, sent out a 67-page health safety document that starts out as you read it, like, and it got acquired by ESPN. As you read the reports on it, it starts out and seems really reasonable. And then as you continue, each individual item seems reasonable. However, the magnitude of what these leagues are trying to do, coming back to play in the midst of COVID-19, is incredible. And I gotta say, the weirdest thing about this is I think depending where you live, it just feels so different. I'll say that again. For those of us that are in Utah, we're kind of moving forward. It hasn't been horrendous. It feels as though, like, you know, wow, is that where we are? And there are times, I think, where, you know, we'll see whether or not we end up paying the price for this. I'd say I see things around our town in which, you know, not like around Utah per se, where we just simply drop the ball. Like, we're just like deciding that it's not going on anymore and that it's not taking place and it's not going to have an impact on anyone. So we're going to see. This is going to be really interesting, obviously, to watch play out. But here's what Major League Baseball talked about. And I'm going to just run through it quickly. And throughout the week, we'll dig into what the impact is on basketball. So just this is really conceptually so you understand what level they're going to. No Ubers. Have to take one of six buses to the arena. No shoulder and open the windows on the buses. No shoulder-to-shoulder national anthem. Color-coded dugouts. Only players allowed in the dugouts are those that are expected to play in the near future. The rest are in the stands, separated by four empty seats and two rows at least. Which is, well, again, each of these have a little news item to them, and I don't have time today to get into each and every one of them, but there's an incredible amount of news here that we'll just continually dig into all week. So please make Locked On Jazz a part of your daily routine. If you aren't following it on Spotify or subscribing on iTunes so you get it every day, please do. Reviews are always loved. Daily temperature checks. First when you wake up, second when you reach the team, and third on your way out. That's not that surprising. Multiple locker rooms, using the auxiliary locker room as well as the regular locker room because of the fact you have social distancing. No indoor team meetings. So if you're going to hold a pitching staff meeting, you're either doing it outside or you're doing it on Zoom separated. No seeds, no dip, no water jugs, no high fives, no daps. Pitchers on the mound use what's called a rosin bag. Which has got, it makes you get, and the players want you to use it because you're throwing 100 miles an hour and they want to make sure you have a good grip on the ball. Every player will have their own personal rosin bag. Makes sense. Some of these things are like, oh, they should have been doing this the whole time. Pine tar. We have pine tar we rub on the bats. Makes it sticky so that you hold the bat. Every player will have their own personal pine tar. Here's the one I hadn't even thought about. The ball in play. So the ball gets, pitcher catches, throws to the catcher a few times, gets hit, left fielder fields it, throws to the second baseman throws it to third for some reason, third. They may pull that ball out of play at that point for the amount of contacts it's had. Players have to wash their hands or sanitize every half inning. Will not be allowed to leave their hotel without approval. No housekeeping into their rooms. No post-game showering as a group. It's interesting on some of these, because I would have thought the heat of the shower, but maybe that's not true. It's a Utah company, by the way, that's going to be doing all the Major League Baseball testing. SMRTL will be doing all of the testing. And if you get a positive test in 7 days, it's a 7-day quarantine right now, not 14. And they're trying to pull this together as well as a labor dispute but in 3 weeks. Going to be hard. The other one that's really interesting on all of these, and it's the same thing that's been interesting in our society, it's the same thing that's going to be interesting on all this. It's one thing for us to say, hey, this is what you got to do, and us to do it for a few weeks or a month. But we've seen we struggle doing it for longer than that. Is Major League Baseball really going through a season like this? An entire season where everybody is doing exactly that? That, to me, is maybe the most difficult part of this to understand. If we really, really think that baseball, or does it just become your normal way of life, right? It's one of two things. It's either going to be that they get bored of it, they're not willing to hold it, or it's their normal way of life. Anyway, fascinating. I'm going to do more research on it, get more information, and talk about it all week long because it's the first model we have of a big team sport coming back to play. We have what's taking place with PGA Tour coming up, and that's going to be a little bit different, but there'll be pieces of all of these that are the model for the NHL, the NBA, then the NFL will take it to the next level. And the NFL will probably try to do it with fans, and then the NBA and NHL follow with fans, and then baseball follows the next time. Pretty incredible to watch it all take place. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. They're revolutionizing the taste and health of energy and protein bars. Well, they're rebuilding it is the way I like to say it because they're Built Bar. The flavors, fabulous. The rumor amongst the Locked On Podcast Network hosts, freeze them and they're even better. Healthy has never been this delicious. I am a non-nut guy and I love the fact that Built Bar has a nut-free facility that they put all their nut-free bars through. And then I can get my black cherry chocolate cream, my salted caramel chocolate, my orange chocolate cream, which was actually good, by the way. No, not like surprise, but generally my feeling on like the trying to make up dreamsicles is that's like the biggest fail of flavoring. Not true on this one. Raspberry chocolate cream, vanilla chocolate cream, all fabulous flavors. And then they have great nut flavors as well. For those of you, they taste without freezing them. There's an incredible texture to them, almost marshmallowy. The health numbers are amazing. So you're having a protein bar because either you want a quick bite or you need a little juice before you finish do your exercise. So calories, 110 rather than the leading men's bar is 250. How about carbs, which are not so great for you, right? 38 on the leading men's bar, 5 on a Built Bar. Sugar grams, sugar's the devil. 21 grams in the leading men's bar, 4 for a Built Bar. That's right. It's healthier. It tastes better. It's fabulous. You can get it at builtbar.com and then use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first box at builtbar.com. Do it now. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Oh, the good guys over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also in Logan, are making sure that you still get incredible deals as well as making sure that it's safe for you in this baseball world we just talked about. All right, so let's talk about the safety aspect. You can shop online for your new Chevy. They'll bring you the car. It's the Murdoch Sure way to do things. Let's talk about the incredible deals. How about a Silverado truck? 0% for 84 months. No payments for 120 days. Or no payments until 2021. On a Silverado? On the Silverado, I'm telling you. It's incredible. Silverado trucks are like, the best way I can describe a Silverado truck is it's the lazy boy of trucks. You are driving that thing, you think you are tough, and the fact is you are getting pure luxury. The SUVs have a great lineup as well. The Traverse is the biggest of the SUVs. Well, not the Tahoe or the Suburban, but of the regular size. Then the Equinox. I loved the Blazer when I drove it. And of course, Chevy has the Suburban and the Tahoe for you. 0%, 84 months for the 2020 Silverados. Incredible deals. It's all at Murdoch Chevy. 0% on the Trax as well. 0% for 84 months on the Equinox as well. And of course, if you are a healthcare professional, you get the GM first responder discount. It's all at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, also in Logan. Feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com if you're heading out. All right. Last Dance is done. I thought it was terrific. It was wonderful. It was great. I'm going to say I have one. And Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets is the one who actually pointed this out to me on Locked On NBA last night on our postgame show. If you go right now or after, when this is done, you can listen to Locked On NBA and grab the postgame show to the Last Dance, our final one, our Monday edition. We had a collection of hosts. It was a lot of fun. So feel free, please jump on and grab that. He pointed out there was no why. So we've got, the story's clear. Jordan's one of the greatest winners of all time. Truly unbelievable commitment and dedication to the sport and to winning and relentlessness. And he just wins. He just wins. And it's, you know, it's a remarkable feat that he pulled off. 6 championships basically in 6 years. But where that came from or why he had that element, I mean, you have to be, the thing I almost think, you know, you also have to be like the best player in the world, right? You have to make every single one of those shots. You have to make every single one of those plays. You have to see the game differently. The coming back from behind on the Karl Malone steal is, you know, one of the great plays of all time. On the steal from Karl Malone is one of the greatest plays of all time, because when I asked him post-game that year in 1998 when he first thought about doing that, he mentioned he first thought about it back in the playoffs the year before. I mean, that's crazy high level stuff that makes you the greatest. That like there's that and frankly the quick drive and then making the shot and the way he saw the game. There's so many aspects to this that, you know, you don't want to undersell how truly brilliant he was as a player. And yet there's another element to him, and and that's the one thing the documentary lacked. It was the why. He's truly one of a kind. On Locked On NBA, I kind of closed the show with, what was your takeaway? And mine was that, you know, I had two takeaways. One was I was a mammoth Jordan. I mean, I knew we were watching one of the greats of all time, and so I cherished it. And you look at that and he is, you know, he's that great. And this was a reminder that he, in fact, was that great. Like, that's a little bit of my takeaway. It really was that special. The other one that was my takeaway, and this kind of flips it for us, because I'll admit, it was painful. 22 years later, it was painful as a Jazz fan, as someone who worked at, to rewatch it. And, you know, we love to talk about Pivetta and this. And, like, the amount of mistakes or that the Jazz made or things that went wrong late to allow the Bulls to win is one way to say it. The other way is, like, the amount of things that had to go the Bulls' way for them to win six straight, or even, you know, every single one of those championships felt like it teetered on just the slimmest of margins, right? And you think back, like, you know, the Lakers won a championship because of Derek Fisher's shot, and the Heat won a championship because of Ray Allen's shot. Like, those rim out. Those shots aren't, they rim out that they, like, they actually lose. Like, it's over. This one doesn't quite have the it rims out, it's over. I do think if Jordan misses, the Jazz win game seven, maybe, but it's hard to say Jordan would ever lose. But you just kind of look through the, like, it's just so many little moments. Even, you know, game four, when the Jazz, game four of 98, when the Jazz lose it, they lose by four in Chicago. There's two layups missed, one by Shane Anderson, one by John Stockton, with like 29 seconds left, that would have made it a 2-point game, and you try to get a stop. Instead, you have to foul. Like, who knows? Like, those were point blank close. They weren't easy, but they're close. You look back, there's just so many plays in all of these moments. And maybe that is truly what separates, right? I mean, the Bulls were so great, right? Karl Malone was the second best player in the world. And they just eliminated him from games. I mean, if you go back to game four of the 98 finals, this is, the series is 2-1. The Jazz have come off the single worst offensive game in the history of the NBA. And they're close late. Karl Malone comes back in the game. It's 7:45 left in that fourth quarter. There's, you know, 67-61. Yes, that's a fourth quarter score in that era. And you're ready to, like, here we go. And Carl does, like, the Bulls are so great that the mailman doesn't get a shot off. Then Malone has game five. He has one of the most incredible games ever. And the coronation that was going on in game five in that building, I remember vividly. They're running Green Day's Time of Our Lives on the Jumbotron as we move to the fourth quarter with highlights of the run. You know, and even in game five, when Malone has, like, one of the most unbelievable games of all time. I mean, he's incredible. It's one of the great games ever in Jazz history. It's 78 late. Antoine Carr clutches up, hits two free throws. Kukoc hits a three. Hornacek, of all people, misses a free throw that allows Jordan to have that final wild shot with a second left. And I guess he would have had it. It didn't really matter. Frankly, Jeff probably should have, in retrospect, up one, probably should have missed the second free throw so that the game ended. It was like a discussion of the time of that. But that's, you know, Jordan missed it, the Jazz clutch up and win that. And then game six, there's just all these moments, right? There's just all these moments where you look back and say, like, what if, what if, what if? I mean, it's no different if you go back to the previous year, where in the 97 finals, there's all these moments. And those, it was just a kill. Like, the one that killed me on the rewatch of last night, was the Tony Kukoc offensive rebound on a free throw that I think was game four. That was a vital moment. Like, there's just and that's the essence of a basketball game, and that's the essence of a championship. There's just these little moments. And I remember living through it and then in the pain and just wondering, like, why couldn't we? Why couldn't we? And having those memories just kind of spurred back up was hard. Not gonna lie to you. That was they were hard. But, you know, Michael was the greatest player of truly of all time. Might have been the flu game. Is it the flu game in 97 actually where Kukoc gets that rebound? I think it might have been. I'll have to check and see if I can find that again. But there's, it's just, you know, you remember all these times and moments and things. And to me, that's what, I mean, the flu game is legendary and should be. He dropped 45, right? Like he dropped 45. And that game was incredible. Like it's tied. The Jazz lead it by 3. Mailman goes to the line up 1 with 2:25 left, makes 1 of 2. Pippen goes to the line with 2:05 left, makes the first, misses the second. Kukoc gets the rebound, and then, but actually, I don't know if they score on that one. Michael with 46 seconds left makes the first, misses the second, and that's where Kukoc tips it out, and Michael hits the 3. Like, the Jazz don't clear rebounds off missed free throws. Oh, my gosh, 22 years later, and it's still just so painful. So painful. You know what's not painful is wearing a Grip 6 belt. How for that for a transition sentence right there. I've got myself the 2 new Grip 6 belts. I'm absolutely loving it. Reminded me how I'd gotten used to having my old ones. Reminded me how great this product is. Utah company that has made a belt that is just better than any belt I've ever had. It's the only belt I wear now. It has no flaps. It has no holes. It has a patented system where it flips in around underneath and cinches, holds, and fits perfectly no matter your size. Right now, they've got a great deal. 2-pack builder. You get any 2 belts of your choice for 20% off. But here's what's really cool. You really get 4 belts if you do this right, because you're going to get a strap, 2 straps and 2 buckles, and they're interchangeable. So if you do it right and you go get like the black strap and the ninja belt or the gunmetal belt, or you might want the new work belts, which hold great if you've got a, they're a little heavier duder. Good for concealed carry. They're good for a work belt, whatever you might want. Or there's the new Ultralight series with a little lighter buckles, the Horizon Granite belt, the bronze belt. I actually just got myself the gunmetal vertical belt. You can try all of these and then have them interchanged. It's absolutely terrific. The best deal on the site right now is better than any deal I can get you. So it's the 2-belt process. Just in the notes, please put Locked On Jazz down if you don't mind, so that they know that's why you got there. Go check it out. Men's belts, women's belts, kids belts. You can do fun things with golf if you're an ultimate frisbee fan. They have all sorts of things there. That's one of the passions. It's a Utah company, all made in Utah, so no shipping issues as well. Check it out, grip6.com. I promise you it'll be your favorite belt once you get it. It's grip6.com, and put in the comment zone Locked On Jazz. So what if Andre Kirilenko had become the player we all thought he would be? What does that mean? Well, that's our what if today, is what if Andre Kirilenko had been the player that we thought he would be? And it's an interesting question, because I actually think there's some flaws in this. This is, like, I think the question we all... There's a few things about this. As we watch the Last Dance... That's not Andre Kirilenko. I remember specifically asking Andre Kirilenko after a season what his highlight of his season was. And he said to me that this highlight was his 3 sons' birthdays, or his 3 kids' birthdays. That's who Andre was. Like, his kid and my kid went to school together. You saw him all the time. When he's in LA, his kid went to school with our cousins. You saw him all the time. But in 2003, 2004, Andre Kirilenko was an all-star. He averaged 17 points, he had 8 rebounds, and he had 3 assists. And I think we all thought we had this kind of revolutionary 6'9", 220-pound player that was going to be a little different. Now, that team was okay. They were 42-36. It was an interesting Jazz when he played that year. If you go back and look at that team, what I think the key part to look back at, and this is where this question gets interesting, is he played the four. The point guard on that team was a combination of Carlos Arroyo predominantly as your starting point guard, Deshaun Stevenson, Tom Gugliotta, others. Raul Lopez played around with the other guard. Raul Lopez was the backup. Matt Harpring was injured, played 31 games that year. Jaren Collins played some center. Greg Ostertag played some center. Like, it was a piecemeal team. And if Kirilenko, the question on whether Kirilenko could have had the career we had all hoped or wanted him to have is a little twofold. So one part is, like, I mean, we all thought there was another level coming, right? He shoots 34% from three that year. He's this stretch four. He's going to modernize the game. He's incredible on the break. His defense is unprecedented. He's three-time all-defensive player. He leads the league in blocks the next year in 04-05, despite only playing with 3.5 blocks a game. I mean, he's going... He could be Draymond before Draymond in some ways. Could have run the offense at the top. There's a lot of aspects to who he is. Now, he doesn't have that same... You know, this is where it gets interesting. He doesn't have that same texture, that same zest that a Draymond has. But that's who he is. He's 6'9", 220, could pass it. He could handle it a little. Probably not quite good enough to be a point guard every day. But what happens a little bit here is the next year, the Jazz have to get better. And so the two moves they make... Are they add Mehmet Okur and Carlos Boozer. And frankly, neither matches to Andre's game very well. So Memo's not a great rebounder. At 7 feet, he grabs 7.5 rebounds a game. Well, Andre's not a great rebounder. So if you're going to play Andre Kirilenko at the four and use him in that manner, that's you need a rebounding center. Well, that's not a great match. So the rebounder becomes Boozer. But the problem is Boozer now plays Kirilenko's position. And where most of Kirilenko's progress was, or edge was when he was playing the power forward position. And that's what made him most special. In the 03-04 season, he plays his all-star year. He plays 50, according to Basketball Reference, and my memory is it was far more than this. I don't know how they've determined this. 57% of his minutes as a power forward. He never plays that many again. In fact, he plays 41 games in 04-05 at 50%. By the next year, it's down to 27%. By 06-07, it's down to 8%. By 07-08, it's down to 9%. But you go back and look at Andre in, he's plus 11 on off. Plus, the next year he's plus 13. The next year he's plus 12. I mean, this guy is changing games. And then when he becomes a small forward, he's minus 5 per 100 possessions. He's plus 4. He's plus 2. Like, he doesn't have the impact. Playing out defensively, he's not as impactful. He's not able, his block percentage goes way down playing that position. He was blocking 9% of all shots that were on the floor, 7% the next year. And then when he starts going to small forward, that number goes to 3% and 2% and 1% and 2% again. It's not who he is. His steal percentage drops. Like, everything about Kirilenko was that he actually had to play power forward. But herein lies the issue with AK. Was he actually, could you have actually won with AK as your power forward every day? One, did he have the grit and the guts and could have he stayed healthy? Two, did he have, maybe because he would have just been playing the game in a different way. Two, as great as Memo and Boozer were, like, did they actually match him? And like, Boozer's actually the one who's prohibitive and Boozer's scoring 20 a game. So, if you're building, it's this funny thing when you look back on the what if of the 03-04 Jazz that weren't great and then the better teams on is AK actually doesn't ever become that player. Like, you go back, AK's assist rate when he's at his peak as a is better at a power forward than it was as a small forward. His rebounding rate becomes disastrously low. He drops below 9% rebound, or at 9% rebounding rate, which means, you know, rebounding rate, if all players equally got the ball the same amount, it's 10%. Like, everything about his game fell off the map once he became a small forward. So there's no question that what if for Andre Kirilenko to become the player we'd hope to be, he would have to stay a power forward. But here's what's not clear. Could have he handled it physically? Would a Andre Kirilenko power forward team have been very good? Could Andre Kirilenko have really carried you enough and been that good as a power forward if he was your if that was your power forward? And then you're going to have to go get a 2 and 3 that can really score it. Because if you're doing this, Boozer's not on your roster and you're playing a 2, you've got to go find a 2 or 3 that can really score it. And if you remember in that era, the Jazz made a bunch of offers on sign and trades that would have allowed for the Jazz to get a Jamal Crawford or a Corey Maggette or someone like that who could have been a wing scorer and then played Andre Kirilenko at the four. It's an interesting mix. I don't know. There's no question that Andre should have needed to play the four. What I don't know is whether a power forward led team like Andre Kirilenko would have been good enough to make impacts, or whether Andre might have just revolutionized the game. He was that great. Go back and look at the 03-04 season and the advanced numbers. I mean, the block percentage in the 04-05, 9%, assist percentage, 18%. He's really special. He's really, really special. Could that have been who he was a player, or would have he eventually just broken down physically? Or did he have, and did he have the inner fort to be a star rather than just a really good player? Hard to tell. But we never found out. That's your what if today. We'll continue the what ifs all week. That is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Have a wonderful day. Now, go tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA and get the Last Dance postgame show we did last night.